Congress hears the story of the Eclipse 500 type certificate. The Fed bails out AIG. And ILFC may wind up back in the hands of its founder. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Thursday, September 18th, 2008. Did the FAA rush the certification of the Eclipse 500? That question occupied about 5 hours before the U.S. House Aviation Subcommittee yesterday, as members gathered to hear and ask questions of Calvin Scovell, the DOT Inspector General. He told lawmakers he believes the type certification process was rushed, pushed toward an arbitrary deadline despite known issues with the plane's flight control software, avionics functions and displays, wing flaps, and stall warning system. The topics presented were a hit parade of complaints from the past. The FAA let Eclipse work around false alarms by the stall horn by raising the recommended speed for final approach. What Scovell called IOUs were accepted by the FAA, promising compliance on certain problems after certification. Scovell slammed that practice, saying the FAA essentially allowed Eclipse to skate by with an aircraft design that did not meet agency standards. When questioned by Representative Robin Hayes, a GOP congressman from North Carolina who's also a pilot, Scovell admitted his office found no evidence to suggest the Eclipse 500 is an unsafe aircraft. But he stood behind several of the FAA's own inspectors who refused to sign off on the plane, saying, quote, "a reasonable decision would have been to defer the granting of the type certificate," unquote. The FAA came under fire for calling manufacturers customers and for its customer service initiative. Once an internal goal of certifying the plane was set for September 30, 2006, the date became viewed as a hard deadline. FAA Inspector Marion Blakey made a highly publicized award of the type certificate on that very day, and Transportation and Infrastructure Committee Chairman James Oberstar noted it was not only the last day of the fiscal year, but also was a Saturday. Eclipse has responded to the spectacle by noting that the 500 is one of the safest aircraft ever introduced into the market, that it has accumulated 32,000 fleet hours without an injury or fatality, and that we're in an election year. You can find the company's detailed response to the controversy at www.eclipsefacts.com. You'll hear excerpts from committee members and IG Scovell today and tomorrow on the Aero News special feature. Late Tuesday, the U.S. Federal Reserve agreed to loan embattled global insurance and investment firm AIG a total of $85 billion in exchange for a 79.9% stake in the company. What this really amounts to is operating money while the 89-year-old Wall Street fixture performs an orderly sell-off of assets, which could total $150 billion. Although it's frankly hard to say what any Wall Street firm's assets are worth this week. AIG owns sizable stakes in the global finance and insurance industries, and also owns International Lease and Finance Corporation, the aircraft leasing firm. On the insurance side, AIG covers many private aircraft owners. CNN Money reports the Fed authorized the Federal Reserve Bank of New York to loan the funds to AIG at a fairly steep 11% interest rate. Bailout opponents are furious, but the Fed said in a statement that a, quote, "disorderly failure of AIG could add to already significant levels of financial market fragility and lead to substantially higher borrowing costs, reduced household wealth, and materially weaker economic performance," unquote. Part of that $150 billion in AIG assets expected to go on the block soon is International Lease Finance Corp. The Wall Street Journal reports Chairman Stephen Udvar-Hazy, who founded the company 35 years ago, is now expected to lead an effort to buy it back. He and two partners sold the firm to AIG in 1990 for $1.3 billion in stock. I hope he's not hung on to too much of that stock. ILFC reports more than $17 billion worth of orders on its books and is the single largest buyer of new airplanes from both Boeing and Airbus. Its fleet of more than 1,000 planes is an asset valued at about $55 billion, or about a third of the entire asset base being sold by parent company AIG. Conversely, federal filings show that ILFC is carrying more than $31 billion in debt, plus other obligations, resulting in a net of $7.36 billion in equity. In a circumstance which would have been unthinkable even a year ago, ILFC may be eligible for a better credit rating as a standalone than as part of AIG now. The parent company's plummeting credit rating has increased borrowing costs for ILFC to the point that it may not be able to remain competitive if it remains a subsidiary. The only question seems to be whether the 62-year-old Udvar Hazy can raise the required investment in the current climate. He has an enviable track record, with ILFC producing record profits, even as AIG has drowned in the subprime mortgage scandal. Chris Partridge, Director of Asset Finance and Leasing at Deutsche Bank AG in London, says putting the deal together will be a challenge. Quote, "Even if your name is ILFC, people will be looking for a discount," unquote. ITT Corporation announced yesterday it has successfully deployed the Automatic Dependent Surveillance Broadcast Essential Services System for Southern Florida, achieving initial operational capability. ADS-B is a key component of the FAA's much-discussed next-generation air transportation system, intended to increase safety and efficiency in airspace management by providing position reporting with much greater accuracy than radar. ITT says the milestone recognizes the availability of broadcast services of air traffic, as well as weather and aeronautical data from 11 ADS-B ground stations in southern Florida. ITT is both a leading U.S. defense contractor and the world's largest supplier of equipment to move and treat wastewater. Insert your own joke here. The company was awarded a $207 million initial contract by the FAA to lead a team to develop and deploy the first phase of the ADS-B ground infrastructure. FAA is targeting 2013 for a nationwide deployment. Up next on Aero News, BAA is giving up its monopoly on London airports. A missing Cessna is found down in Mexico with four lost. And Boeing sticks its neck out to keep Long Beach open. You're listening to Aero News.
Diamond Aircraft's new DA-40 Diamond Star XL includes all popular Diamond options, combined with the sensational new Garmin GFC-700 Autopilot, a higher performance power plant, and increased gross weight. This makes the Diamond Star XL the perfect choice for affordable personal flying. The Diamond Star XL features equipment and enhancements that increase performance, capability, safety, convenience, and comfort. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3020.
Uncramp your style in a new Citation CJ2 Plus from Cessna. Now with integrated ProLine 21 avionics, FADEC, and a restyled cockpit and cabin. In the CJ2 Plus, you'll carry more payload than you could in the original CJ2. You'll climb and cruise faster. You'll have the freedom to use even shorter runways. And you'll do it all on less fuel. For a sure thing, call 1-800-4-Cessna.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for September 18th. I'm Paul Plack. It's an ugly time to be trying to sell off assets at good prices, but UK airport operator BAA says London Gatwick Airport is officially for sale. Forbes reports Grupo Ferrovial, the Spanish-held company that owns BAA, put Gatwick up for sale reluctantly, admitting the current financial environment makes the timing less than ideal. Victor Asatores, an analyst with Landsbanki Kepler in Madrid, says the airport should still bring a good price. Quote, "This is a very attractive asset, an airport at full capacity in a market hungry for this type of investment," unquote. Colin Stewart analyst Andrew Fitchie begs to differ. He predicts Gatwick will sell for about $3.6 billion, a price which he says represents, quote, "an indictment of a failed expansion strategy, which leaves the group overloaded with debt at a time when cyclical pressures are bearing down across its operations," unquote. It was 2006 when Ferrovial bought BAA, a privatized firm that grew out of the British Airports Authority and kept the abbreviation but not the name. Ferrovial is said to have borrowed heavily and later was accused of padding its earnings claims to hide losses. A sell-off of Gatwick would end a highly criticized BAA monopoly in the London market. The company also owns Heathrow and Stansted. For that matter, it also owns Edinburgh, Glasgow, Aberdeen, and Southampton airports. The European press has already started speculating on possible buyers for Gatwick, including Sir Richard Branson. The British labor union Unite, which represents many airport workers, says it's on alert to protect workers at Gatwick. Union officer Steve Turner says Gatwick, quote, "is a core component of the national infrastructure and an essential part of the UK's aviation sector. yet it is to be flogged off with little care for the wider social impact. This is devastating news to the many hundreds of professional, loyal, and dedicated staff at Gatwick Airport, and it will hit passengers too, unquote. The Associated Press is now citing an intergovernmental agency in reporting all four people on board a plane that crashed in Mexico are dead. The International Boundary and Water Commission says victims include the leaders of its U.S. and Mexican branches. The agency maintains the border between the two countries. The plane had been missing since Monday when it took off from El Paso to check out flooding on the Rio Grande. The U.S. Border Patrol says it found the wreckage of the Cessna 421 yesterday in the Sierra Madre Mountains in Mexico, in what was described as a rugged area about 20 miles northwest of Presidio. Watch for further updates on the story at aero-news.net. Boeing is taking a gamble to keep its C-17 production line running at Long Beach, California. Reuters reports the company has invested hundreds of millions of dollars on advanced purchases of titanium and other materials with long lead times in the hopes Congress will fund 15 more C-17 transport planes in fiscal 2009, which begins on October 1st. So far, while the U.S. House Armed Services Committee has discussed it, Congress has not appropriated any money for additional C-17s in the Pentagon's base budget, and the Pentagon has no plans to ask for more of the planes. The Air Force only planned on 180, but Congress bought the service 15 more planes as part of the 2008 war appropriations. Another 15 would bring the total to 220. Gene Chamberlain, vice president of Boeing Global Mobility Systems, said on Tuesday Boeing is keeping the line running in the hopes another 15 planes will be authorized by the end of this month, keeping the Long Beach plant humming past 2010. Quote, "We will face shutdown if we don't get additional congressional action for fiscal year 09," unquote. She added that Boeing is still pitching additional C-17s to replace the oldest of the larger C-5 transports built by Lockheed. The Pentagon has so far dismissed the notion as too expensive. NASA, which recently partnered with a California charter school to monitor the health of a spacecraft bound for the moon, is now inviting Virginia high school juniors to chart a mission to Mars next summer. The Virginia Aerospace Science and Technology Scholars Program, called VASTS for short, was started last year by NASA Langley Research Center Director Lisa B. Rowe in partnership with the Virginia Space Grant Consortium. Applications are now being accepted from high school juniors and homeschoolers for the web-based course and all-expense-paid summer residential academy. Offered on the Internet this December through May, the program consists of 10 lessons and a final project that allows students to build their knowledge of NASA and get hands-on experience in science, technology, engineering, and math. Based on their course performance, scholars may be selected to participate in a 7-day academy at Langley, where they'll team with NASA mentors and undertake an aerospace mission. Last year's inaugural experience brought together 43 students from across Virginia. This year, at least 200 students will be selected to participate. Rowe explains, quote, "I firmly believe that last year's pilot program identified and recognized Virginia's superstars, challenged their fertile minds, and opened up career paths perhaps they had not yet considered," unquote. The application deadline is November 14th. You can find details and application info at www.vasts.spacegrant.org. Still ahead, don't just load up your plane and head for a hurricane recovery zone. Redbird signs on as the exclusive dealer for the X-Wing Trainer. And fool me once, fool me twice, but then I want a new plane. You're listening to Aero News.
Okay. Right up front, let me say that Garmin does not give tax advice. We have lawyers who cringe at the very thought of suggesting there might be tax advantages to buying a new Garmin avionics system this year.
Did he say tax advantages?
Could that be construed as tax advice, either express or implied?
Yeah, like I said, lawyers. So I guess I won't be telling you that this year Congress is offering special bonus depreciation up to 50% in year one for qualified business equipment placed in service during 2008. Business equipment like, say, a new Garmin avionics stack. But you didn't hear that from me, right?
What did he just say?
Okay, better check with your tax consultant for guidance and your Garmin dealer for the installation.
Garmin. Follow the leader.
See your tax advisor for guidance.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Thursday, September 18th. I'm Paul Plank. In the wake of Hurricane Katrina 3 years ago, we all heard the stories in the media about general aviation pilots who collected donations of needed items in their local areas, loaded up their planes, and headed for Louisiana. While the stories were heartwarming, the Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association says these independent, improvised relief missions are really not a very good idea. In the wake of Hurricanes Gustav and Ike, AOPA President Phil Boyer says, quote, "Our best advice is don't freelance. No matter how good your intentions, the situation is too confused for pilots to just load up and head to the affected areas," unquote. Hurricane Ike caused widespread damage, including wrecked hangars and planes at area airports. At Shoals International on Galveston Island, AOPA says the terminal was flooded and is in bad shape. Most hangars were destroyed, the airport lighting is still out, and there's currently no fuel available on the field. The hurricane also hit parts of Louisiana that are still cleaning up after Hurricane Gustav struck the area September 2nd. AOPA advises individual GA pilots and anybody else who wants to help in any natural disaster, unless you're already registered with a relief agency and expected in the area, just send money. Relief workers on site can then purchase what's really needed, and as a bonus, the local economy gets a boost at returning to normal. Redbird Flight Simulations Incorporated announced on Tuesday it has signed an agreement which will make Redbird the exclusive dealer for the X-Wind 200 Crosswind Landing Trainer, designed by X-Wind LLC. The NTSB reported 2,684 weather-related GA accidents from 1995 to 2001. Of those, 45% were due to crosswinds and gusts. By employing an electric motion platform that provides 60 degrees of roll, 90 degrees of yaw, and 14 feet of lateral drift, the X-Wind sharpens the stick and rudder skills necessary to safely land in these challenging conditions. Redbird Flight Simulations unveiled the new Redbird X-Wing alongside their FMX full-motion flight simulator at Oshkosh. Both are available for demonstration at the Redbird headquarters in Austin, Texas, and you'll be able to see them at shows around the country in the coming year. Passengers on an Air Berlin flight from Nuremberg to Portugal reportedly came close to mutiny Sunday morning, demanding that the airline replace a Boeing 737 with a different plane after pilots aborted two takeoffs. The Associated Press reports the aircraft's flap position indicator failed, so the pilots returned to the gate on the first takeoff attempt. Two of the 172 passengers decided at that point they wanted off. Airline spokeswoman Alexandra Mueller says the remaining 170 passengers were on board for the second takeoff attempt, but when the same glitch popped up a second time, those passengers demanded Air Berlin bring in a new plane. It's possible those passengers were aware of speculation in Spanish newspapers about an erroneous flap setting being a possible cause of last month's crash of a Spanair MD-82 in Madrid. In any event, they went so far as to sign a petition demanding a replacement aircraft. Eventually, Air Madrid flew in another 737 from Antalya, Turkey. Air Berlin technicians later identified the source of the glitch and put the plane back in service on a different route. And finally, advertising is all about getting attention. So what did Spirit Airlines decide to call its new initiative to plaster the inside of its planes with advertising? Mile High Media. Well, now that we have your attention, here's what the airline is telling advertisers. Quote, "Spirit Airlines is the best value in travel for passengers, and now the company's new Mile High Media offers the best value in advertising compared to traditional media outlets. Where else can you find an average 3-hour gaze time?" The first taker is the Bahamas Ministry of Tourism. Its ads will start showing up on Spirit Airlines flights starting this week. Want to make a wild guess what the excuse is for needing more revenue? Mile High Media sales director Michael Puther says, quote, "In addition to providing unsurpassed value to our advertising partners, Mile High Media helps offset record fuel prices, which helps us to continue offering our customers the ultra-low fares they know and love," unquote. Spirit says only a select few advertising partners will be featured on each flight, so call today. It's not clear how discreet these ads are going to be. Bahamas tourism ads are described as colorful and appealing, and they'll be everywhere: overhead bins, tray tables, bulkheads, and seatback inserts. If you're an advertiser and would like to get the media kit, contact advertise@spiritair.com. Who knows? Maybe there'll even be a club for the advertisers. Of course, they'll have to change the name. Wow. Ads everywhere you look? I'm sure glad our website doesn't have to do that. That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, we'll hear the first of two features drawn from yesterday's House Aviation Subcommittee hearing on questions surrounding the certification of the Eclipse 500. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our AeroCasts. Find them on iTunes, Yahoo, Odeo, and at our website, www.aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.